Have you ever wondered why some of the most intelligent, successful people still struggle with basic relationship conflicts? Getting to Zero by Jason Gaddis has become a relationship bible for celebrities like Kristen Bell and Dax Shepard, who openly credit its methods for saving their marriage. This groundbreaking work has transformed how therapists approach conflict resolution, with its methodology now taught in relationship counseling programs nationwide. What began as Gaddis' personal journey through failed relationships has evolved into one of the most influential frameworks for understanding why we fight and how we can reconnect. The book's premise is deceptively simple yet profound. Conflict isn't something to avoid, but rather the very pathway to deeper connection. Most of us have been taught that conflict is something to avoid at all costs. From childhood playground fights to adult disagreements, we learn that fighting is bad and that simple apologies can fix complex situations. The reality, however, is far more nuanced. Conflict in close relationships feels threatening because it endangers our sense of security and survival. Ironically, our attempts to avoid conflict through dishonesty or self-betrayal create even more problems. Research consistently shows that relationships are crucial to our health and longevity. The quality of our connections directly impacts everything from immune function to mental health. Yet many people trade authentic self-expression for connection, fearing that honesty will lead to abandonment. This creates a painful paradox. We need deep connection for well-being, but achieving that connection requires navigating the very conflicts we're programmed to avoid. Gaddis' own journey exemplifies this struggle. For over a decade, he maintained a pattern of relationship avoidance, attracting women but keeping them emotionally distant. When conflicts arose, he'd simply end relationships and move on. This pattern continued until a pivotal breakup when he realized he was the common denominator in all his failed relationships. This epiphany led him to develop the Getting to Zero method, which transforms how we understand and approach conflict. Good relationships aren't defined by an absence of conflict, but by the ability to work through it. Without addressing conflict, relationships remain superficial or fail entirely. The most successful relationships have mastered not conflict avoidance, but conflict navigation, the ability to move from disconnection back to connection through what Gaddis calls the conflict repair cycle. When conflict erupts, something fascinating happens in our brains. Gaddis introduces the concept of the scared animal, the primitive part of our brain constantly scanning for threats and protecting us from danger. Like rescue dogs with past trauma, humans react defensively when feeling judged, criticized, or blamed in important relationships. Our brain can be simplified into two functional parts: the backseat, primitive brainstem and limbic system that houses the amygdala and focuses on protection, and the front seat, neocortex, that enables rational thinking, empathy, and conflict resolution. When triggered, the backseat takes control, compromising our ability to think clearly or respond appropriately. Conflicts are primarily triggered by feeling threatened, whether emotionally, physically, or regarding our identity, values, property, or loved ones. These threats manifest in two main ways: too much closeness or too much distance. As social mammals, we're sensitive to both attack threats, too close, and abandonment threats, too distant. When triggered, our scared animal takes over and often makes things worse through four coping strategies Gaddis calls the four disconnectors. 1. Posture. Like a startled porcupine, we puff up defensively, attacking or blaming others to protect ourselves. 2. Collapse. Like a hermit crab, we retreat inward, shut down, and sink into shame, blaming ourselves entirely. 3. Seek. Like a golden retriever nuzzling for reassurance, we desperately pursue connection, often overwhelming others. 4. Avoid. Like a feral cat, we create distance by leaving the room, ignoring messages, or mentally checking out. Understanding these patterns helps us recognize when our scared animal is in control. The trigger scale measures our activation level from 0 to 10, with 0 representing closure and connection, and 10 indicating extreme activation. The front seat operates between 0 to 5, while the back seat takes over between 6 to 10. The cost of chronic conflict avoidance is significant. The groundbreaking ACEs study found that adverse childhood experiences increase risk for 7 of the 10 leading causes of death. When we report being fine while chronically disrupting the conflict repair cycle, we adapt to living in chronic low-grade stress, the silent killer. The Gottman's research shows couples who handle conflict well live 10 years longer than those who avoid it. At the heart of relationship conflicts lies a deeper struggle, what Gaddis calls our core inner conflict. This tension exists between our true self and strategic self, like a compass with two needles pulling in different directions. When we felt safe as children, we expressed our true self. When unsafe, we led with our strategic self. The strategic self develops as a survival mechanism. Children take unresolved outer conflicts inward, where they remain most of their lives, creating thoughts like, I can't be myself here, or I better not be too emotional. Unless a child's self-expression has been cultivated through secure attachment relationships, the strategic self dominates because attachment is the primary need. This misalignment affects life direction and relationships, as illustrated by Philip's story. Despite graduating from an Ivy League school, he followed his family's expectations into finance rather than taking time to discover his true path. For 8 years, he received external validation while growing increasingly depressed, eventually losing his girlfriend who couldn't break through his emotional walls. The gap between your true self and strategic self inevitably creates anxiety and depression. When you rely on strategies rather than honest self-expression during conflicts, reaching resolution becomes nearly impossible. The further you drift from your true self, the harder it becomes to achieve fulfillment. To identify your strategic self's values, magnetic north, you must honestly examine what currently drives your daily choices and actions. Through a series of questions about how you spend your time, energy, money, thoughts, and what media you consume, you can reveal your actual values. After mapping your current values, create a second compass showing what your values would be without fear or security concerns. This reveals your true self-compass. Closing the gap between your strategic self and true self requires telling the truth during conflict, embracing what Gaddis calls Choice C, the path to both personal authorship and deeper connection. Choice C means facing conflict rather than avoiding it, closing the gap between your strategic self and true self by telling the truth in service of yourself and the relationship. Most people approach conflict from a position of victimhood, blaming others for relationship problems. When hurt in relationships, we naturally move into the victim seat, seeing someone else as at fault. Stuck in this valley of victimhood, we lose perspective and choice. Victims often create dysfunctional triangles involving three roles: victim, villain, and rescuer. For example, Monica would vent to her friend Imani about her husband, the villain, seeking validation. This triangulation stabilizes relationships by spreading tension but resolves nothing. These triangles create a false sense of stability while maintaining powerlessness. Moving from victim to author means taking responsibility for your narrative. The author gains a mountaintop perspective, seeing more options and choices. This transition doesn't deny past pain, but reinforces your power to engage in conflict differently. Becoming a relational leader requires 4 key steps. 1. Admit you're stuck and need help. Humbly acknowledging when you don't know how to move forward opens the door to getting the help you need. 2. Take personal responsibility for the outcome you want. Stop blaming others for relationship problems and say, I'm the problem. While others play their part, you can only control your own thoughts, beliefs, perceptions, and actions. 3. Learn, grow, and develop. Put on your student hat and commit to learn what you don't know. Growth embraces challenge and discomfort while developing stronger conflict muscles. 4. Embrace and engage in conflict. You can't become a relational leader by avoiding conflict. Effective fighting is the path from victim to author. The fastest path through any conflict is owning your part. When Trudy shifted from, "You never call me," to, "I'm hurt that you don't call," her son finally heard her instead of defending himself. Leading with I statements rather than accusatory you statements transforms conversations. Most relationships fail because people cannot manage their reactivity during conflict. Learning to be with uncomfortable feelings is essential for resolving conflict. Your emotional discomfort threshold, EDT, determines how much internal emotional discomfort you can handle. To increase your EDT requires two skills, self-regulation and self-reflection. The Nestor meditation helps increase your capacity to feel emotions during conflict. This 5-minute practice teaches you to hold your inner experience like a nest holds an egg. The acronym stands for Number, Rate Your Trigger 0 to 10, Emotion, Label Your Feelings, Sensation, Notice Physical Sensations, Thoughts, Observe Your Thinking, and Resource, Find a Grounded Place Within Yourself. Self-regulation differs from suppressing emotions. True self-regulation means riding the waves of emotions and sensations until they pass. It's the ability to stay present during any internal or external storm, soothing your scared animal while remaining aware of what's happening inside you. When triggered, resources act like stable surfboards helping us ride emotional waves. Internal resources might include your kind heart, determined mind, or even your breath. External resources can be the earth beneath your feet, a comfortable bed, or a loyal pet. The most effective external resource is another capable, resourced human who can provide emotional safety, seeing, soothing, and support. Sometimes we need space and distance to locate our resources. Hitting the pause button provides a boundary that says, "I need a break to collect myself." When communicating your need for a pause, address the other person's fears by reassuring them you're not abandoning the situation. "I'm not running away, I just need a pause so we can both feel better." One of the most transformative tools in Gaddis's approach is LUFU, Listen Until They Feel Understood. This powerful technique transforms conflict resolution by helping others feel truly seen. When people feel understood, they don't need to fight. Their defenses relax and connection becomes possible. The 8 steps to LUFU begin with presence, being fully with yourself and someone else moment by moment. The more present you are, the better you can listen using all your senses, not just your mind. The steps include 1. Curiosity. Stay curious about everything the other person is saying, how they're saying it, what they're not saying, and their underlying story. 2. Reflective listening. Repeat back what the person is saying using phrases like, "It sounds like," or "I hear you saying." 3. Same page questions. After reflecting what someone says, ask questions like, "Is that right?" or "Am I following you?" 4. Active listening. Sometimes requires interrupting the speaker to ensure you're understanding them, using phrases like, "Excuse me for interrupting, I just want to make sure I'm understanding you." 5. Empathy. Put yourself in another person's shoes and feel what they feel, saying things like, "That is sad," or "Hearing you say that, I feel sad too." 6. Validation. After empathizing with someone's perspective, validation helps them feel seen and understood. The 3 most powerful words you can say are, "That makes sense." 7. Ownership. Take ownership of your part in a conflict without justifications or excuses. "I just want to own that I didn't return your text. That's true. I blew it." 8. Completion through shared reality. Ensure the other person feels completely understood by asking confirmation questions like, "Is there anything else I missed?" or "Do you feel understood for now?" Most people listen while waiting for their turn to defend or justify themselves. This habit must be set aside to maintain genuine curiosity. The goal isn't politeness, but genuine understanding. Most people would prefer being interrupted occasionally if it means being truly understood rather than having someone politely nod while mentally checking out. Once you've mastered listening, the next step is learning to speak effectively during conflict. The SHORE process helps us speak S honestly, H with ownership, O to repair, empathetically. Like boats in conflict far out at sea during a storm, SHORE helps the waves of discord die down so we can regroup and reconnect. Before speaking, Gaddis offers 13 important reminders, including: speaking from the back seat, when highly triggered, garners limited results. Set context to minimize conflict. Avoid monologues. Limit yourself to 1 to 2 minutes. Be aware of your nonverbals. Create and maintain eye contact. Move closer, not farther away. Consider appropriate physical touch. Distinguish between personhood and behavior. Speak with care and respect. The 8 steps of the SHORE process include: 1. Context. Stand for 3. Begin by sharing why reconnection matters to you, holding yourself, the other person, and the relationship with equal regard. 2. Ownership. Start with "my part is." Take personal responsibility without justifications, rationalizations, or defensiveness. 3. Empathize. I imagine the impact on you is. Put yourself in their shoes to understand their thoughts, feelings, and sensations in response to your actions. 4. Validate their bigger picture. That makes sense. Validate what they're going through to increase receptivity. 5. Share the impact of their behavior on you. Use the format "when you" factual behavior, "I feel," "felt," "your feelings." 6. Make a reasonable request for behavior change. First, own what you can do differently, then ask them to consider adjustments too. 7. What did I or we learn? What I'm learning about me, you, and us. Identify insights about yourself, them, and your relationship. 8. Collaborate toward future agreements and strategies. Create or update agreements and develop conflict plans for future issues. Your nervous system signals when an issue is resolved. Shoulders relax, heart rate decreases, breathing deepens, and sleep improves. You can't fake being at 0, and everyone's baseline differs. Understanding the 5 most common types of fights helps you navigate each challenge more effectively. 1. Surface fights and disagreements. Everyday conflicts about seemingly small matters where the level of emotional activation doesn't match the apparent issue. 2. Childhood projections. Superimposing past experiences onto present relationships, like perceiving a boss's constructive feedback as harsh criticism. 3. Security fights. Conflicts that touch our deepest attachment needs and fears of abandonment, asking, "Are you really with me, both feet in and not going anywhere?" 4. Value differences. Fundamental disagreements about things you care about, like monogamy, parenting philosophy, wealth, religion, or politics. 5. Resentments. Emerge when we try to change others to live by our values, or they try to change us to live by theirs, typically forming when we reluctantly agree to something. There are also 10 common roadblocks to reconnection that keep us stuck in conflict. 1. Blame. Pointing fingers at others or ourselves, putting the solution over there. 2. Rushed apologies. Said too soon and too often, never addressing underlying issues. 3. Distraction or avoidance. Using medication like phones, TV, food, or substances to avoid uncomfortable feelings. 4. Time. Waiting for conflicts to resolve themselves, which rarely works. 5. Compartmentalization. Putting issues aside, creating an illusion of resolution. 6. Fracking. Fixing, rescuing, advice giving, complaining, colluding, and killing. Denying experiences. 7. Hope and pray. Hoping conflicts magically resolve themselves without taking action. 8. Defensiveness. rigid denial or excuse-making that kills potential reconnection. 9. Stonewalling, creating an impenetrable barrier to communication by shutting down completely. 10. Gaslighting, manipulating through deliberate lying and reality distortion. Creating agreements provides essential structure for navigating conflicts. These agreements function as rules to help you transcend reactivity and return to collaborative problem solving. The 12 agreements to ease conflict include 1. Make clear agreements. 2. Grow and develop yourself. 3. Learn to embrace conflict as normal. 4. The most resourced person leads. 5. Examine what drives you to blame. 6. Own your part. 7. Be vulnerable as quickly as possible. 8. Speak with care and respect. 9. Stay in relationship. 10. Don't make threats of leaving. 11. Don't bring up big conflicts over text or email. 12. Learn how to repair and reconnect effectively. Value differences create some of the toughest conflicts to resolve because they touch our core sense of self. To align your values, follow 6 steps. 1. Know yourself and your values. 2. Consider their values. 3. Accept your value differences as fact. 4. Find your shared values and write them down. 5. Find alignment together. 6. See how your differences serve the 3: you, them, and the relationship. People defend their values when they don't feel understood. Once understood, they relax and become more receptive to differences. The combination of shared values and differences makes the relationship stronger. The problem isn't different life compasses, but our inability to communicate within these differences. Sometimes, despite our most sincere and persistent efforts, we can't get to zero with another person. When someone consistently refuses to meet you halfway in resolving conflict, it's deeply frustrating and emotionally draining. Before giving up, try making reasonable requests for behavior change using the SURE speaking process: state, honor, own, request, engage, focusing specifically on observable behaviors rather than demanding personality or identity changes. For example, instead of saying "stop being so selfish," request, "please respond to my messages within 24 hours. If reasonable requests don't yield results after multiple attempts, you face 3 primary options: increase pressure through boundaries or consequences, move on from the relationship, or undertake the challenging work of resolving the conflict alone. Sometimes we can't get to zero despite our best efforts, and it's perfectly acceptable to end relationships when resolution seems impossible. However, it's important to recognize that unresolved issues typically follow us into future relationships, making solo resolution valuable even when the other party won't participate. These patterns often resurface in similar ways with different people. Being cut off or estranged from family members or close friends is deeply painful, as is attempting to resolve conflict with someone who's deceased or steadfastly unwilling to engage. When someone won't come to the table, we must make a fundamental choice between remaining in victimhood or taking ownership of our healing journey. Though resolution is easier and more complete with a willing partner, we can still get to zero alone through internal work, therapy, or other healing practices. Once we truly accept that someone won't change or engage, a realization that often comes gradually, our healing becomes entirely our responsibility. Though difficult, this shift in perspective can be surprisingly empowering. We must accept that past conflicts cannot be undone or rewritten, no matter how much we wish things had gone differently. Ruminating on what should have happened only creates more suffering and keeps us stuck. Instead, look for the growth opportunities and learning experiences in painful situations. Perhaps the conflict taught you about setting boundaries or recognizing toxic patterns earlier. Taking an empowerment approach means grabbing the steering wheel of our healing journey rather than waiting for someone else to make it right. The solo journey to zero might include practices like journaling, meditation, forgiveness work, or reframing past events from a more mature perspective. While we can't change others, we can change our relationship to the conflict and our interpretation of events. This might mean developing compassion for the other person's limitations while still maintaining healthy boundaries, or finding peace with the reality that some relationships may remain unresolved in this lifetime. Supportive relationships are the number one predictor of positive life outcomes, surpassing factors like wealth, education, or genetics. Research consistently shows that people with strong, authentic relationships live longer, healthier, and more satisfying lives. Conflict isn't the problem. It unearths our essence and integrates our strategic self into our true self, serving as a catalyst for growth and deeper understanding. The conflict repair cycle is a natural part of life, much like the changing seasons. When practiced with presence, respect, and kindness, it creates bonds that are stronger and more resilient than before the conflict occurred. This cycle involves recognition, engagement, repair, and integration, each stage building upon the last to create more secure and meaningful connections. By admitting we're stuck in old patterns, taking responsibility for our part in conflicts, committing to personal growth, and embracing conflict as an opportunity, we can develop fulfilling relationships where we're true to ourselves while getting what we want. The quality of any exceptional relationship is determined not by the absence of conflict, but by how two people handle disagreements and repair ruptures in their connection. When we stop running from conflict and face it directly, we make tremendous leaps in personal development. This growth occurs in multiple dimensions: emotional intelligence, self-awareness, communication skills, and empathy all expand through constructive conflict engagement. As Marcus Aurelius said, "What stands in the way becomes the way." This ancient wisdom reminds us that our greatest challenges often contain our greatest opportunities for transformation. Conflict isn't something to avoid. It's the very pathway to deeper connection, self-knowledge, and ultimately a more fulfilling life. Each difficult conversation, when approached with intention and courage, builds our capacity for intimacy and authenticity. Through this process, we learn to hold space for both our own needs and those of others, creating relationships that are both nurturing and challenging in the best possible ways. The path forward requires us to embrace vulnerability, practice radical honesty, and maintain unwavering respect for both ourselves and others. By viewing conflict as a teacher rather than an enemy, we can transform our relationships from superficial connections into profound bonds that support our growth and evolution.